the I Am. He is 100% independent, almighty, and love. The I Am. Eternity past to eternity future. I Am. That's our God.
More of Him, less of me. That's my cry, that's my plea.
Welcome to Completely His, the teaching ministry of Harvest Bible Chapel Peoria and Senior Pastor Tim Harkness. Who is Jesus? Can you embrace His claims? Are you ready to hear what He is saying and place your trust in Him as the great I Am? If you have your Bible, we are in the book of John chapter 8, verses 48 through 59 for part 2 of the message, Embrace the Claim. Here's Pastor Tim.
Well, who is this Christ? Glad you asked. Let's keep diving in. Point number 2, make sure you hear and understand what Jesus is saying. Make sure you hear and understand what Jesus is saying. He starts out here now in verse 51. Truly, truly, I say to you, just so you know, when Jesus Christ says truly, truly, it simply means this. Listen up. Listen up. Truly, truly. When he repeats that twice over, truly, truly, it means what? And get ready, because it comes up again in this passage. It means listen up. And a truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Jesus is like, I'm telling you, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father by me. I'm telling you, there is hope in me. I'm telling you, there is authority and power in me. Come to me, trust in me, believe on me. In John chapter 6, he said, this is the work of the Father, that you believe in the one he sent. Believe in Jesus Christ. Confidence in Him. He is God Almighty. He is absolutely our sacrifice at the cross. And He is risen from the dead. Amen. Amen. And that's who Jesus Christ is. He is risen from the dead. Do you believe that? Do you confess Him as Lord of your life? You're in charge. Man, make sure you respond to Jesus Christ. He says, those who keep my words, follow what I'm challenging you here with believing in me, they will not see death. Never. In fact, when he said this, the Jews, being absolutely clueless, as usual, were missing it. And they're like, he means physical death. So like, somehow I do something you're saying, and now I never get old? Now I never die, I never get sick, I never, really? Really? That's what you want to purport? And so note what he says here. The Jews respond to him, now we know that you have a demon. Right? Proof! And you can just see him looking around at everybody around him, right? At first they're like, well, are we right in saying that you're one of those half-breed, unclean people we shouldn't be with, that you have a demon? And Jesus is like, zing! And they're like, I told you. What are you supposed to do with that? Never gonna die. Come on. The guy's losing it. He clearly has a demon, right? And in that moment, they go back to accusation. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said, now we know that you have a demon. Here's their proof. Abraham died. Why'd they go to that? That's the father of their nation. Abraham died. He's an awesome guy. Truthfully, he is huge in who we are with God Almighty. And death touched him. And Abraham died, as did the prophets, by the way. As a matter of fact, I can't think of anybody I would say is from God who didn't die. Come on, man. The most godly people die. And you're saying we follow you? And there's no death, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? Man, at some level there's a humor in this, and at some level there is a tragedy in this. What is the answer to this question? Are you greater than our father Abraham? Answer. Man, let's answer it bigger than that. Are you greater than our father Abraham?
Yes.
And You've got to be kidding. Yes! Yes, he is, right? Yes! Yes, he is. Come on, are you greater than our father Abraham? They're missing who he is. They're so missing it. Are you greater than our father Abraham? Yes. Are you greater than the prophets who died? Answer.
Yes.
You know he is. Yes. That's where we stand. Jesus Christ, greater than Abraham, greater than the prophets. Then they say the ultimate question. Who do you make yourself out to be? You can't say that sentence without having the most nasty snarl on your face possible. Who do you make yourself out to be? Think you're greater than them? And the answer is,
yes.
Who do you make yourself out to be? Well, he's making himself out to be God Almighty. There is one person bigger and greater than those men. And is it absolute ridiculousness for a man to start calling out their greatness over Abraham or the prophets? Yeah, they missed it. He is God himself. Who do you make yourself out to be? Hang on. I'm going to make it really clear, right? And Jesus walks it through. Let's just answer this from a couple other passages first. Who do you make yourself out to be? Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Says this about Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, he did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped. Though he was in the form of God, he's God. Though he's in the form of God, he is God himself. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. He is fully God. Everybody say, fully God. And yet he took on human likeness, fully man. Everybody say, fully man. And he's both at the same time, fully God, fully man. Everybody say both. It's not one and then the other. He didn't give up one and then become man and then go back to God and he's back and forth in it. It's fully God all the time and fully man. There's a moment where he humbles himself and he gives up some level of ability into the Father and trusting in him, but he is still fully able himself. He's like, Lord, you let me know when and where and why and how, and I do that. Father, I'll respond to you. Until then, I trust in you. And the God the Son humbles himself in that moment. He is fully God, and he is fully man. And you're like, yeah, I can barely comprehend that. Good, your God is getting big, right? If we can fully comprehend who God is small. May we be blown away with the greatness of our God. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. And it says, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Obedient, humble for you and for me. He died for me, him for me. Who do you think you are? Well, I am God Almighty, and I am come to this earth because I love you, and I am here to make a sacrifice for you. That's who I think I am. I love you. And I love this statement. This is Revelation 1, 17 and 18. This is from Jesus Christ himself. Jesus says, Revelation 1, 17 and 18, fear not, I am the first and I am the last and the living one. I died. Everybody say he went to the cross. I died. And behold, I am alive forevermore. He is risen. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ, he is risen from the dead. May we never forget this. Jesus says, get this. I died and I am alive forevermore. I have conquered death. I have conquered sin. I have made the payment. I have it all in hand. In fact, in Revelation 1, he says, I am alive forevermore and I have the keys of death and Hades in my hand. That's who Jesus Christ is, God Almighty, in charge of the universe, him for me. He went to the cross and he is risen again. That's who they're back talking to. All right. Our God is awesome. Our God is awesome. And so a number of years ago, back before World War II, there was a great violinist. His name is Fritz Kreisler. And he's a great violinist. He was world-renowned at the time. Remember, that was before TV and all that stuff, right? And so there were certain people who kind of got to the top by their prowess in whatever they did, in this case in music with the violin, and he played the violin unbelievably well. Well, World War II started to break out. He was like, I'm done with this. I'm going to America. So he actually signed up to get on a boat to come over here. He went down to the docks to get onto the boat, and as he was getting ready to go on the boat was delayed for a while, and he's like, you know what? I'm just going to walk around down in the district here and just kind of take in the sights before I leave one last time. And so he's walking around, and he's holding his precious violin with him. And he's walking around and saying hello to a few people, and he walks into a couple shops. One of them was a music store. And he walked into the music store. You could just hear the bell kind of ring on the door as he opened it, right? Old school style. Ching, 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 right? And he goes in, and he's looking around, and the guy comes up, and they start talking a little bit. And he says, so I see you got a violin there. He's like, yeah, I'm going overseas. With the war coming out, I don't want to stay around and taking this with me. And I said, well, why don't you just check it in? Not checking this in. He goes, mind if I see it? So he opens up and shows him the violin. The man says, am I allowed to touch this? He said, absolutely. Picks it up, looks at it very carefully, just in awe, sets it back down. He goes, wow, thanks for letting me see that. He steps into the back room. He said, I'll be right back. Goes in the back room, runs out the back door, runs down the street, runs up to a police officer and goes, dude, you got to come with me. I got a guy over here. He stole Fritz Kreisler's violin. You got to get on here with me. Police come down with him. This is a true story. Police come down with him, arrest him for stealing Fritz Kreisler's violin. He's like, it's my violin. I'm Fritz Kreisler. They're like, right, right. That's what Fritz Kreisler's down here in the business district. He's like, I was going to take a boat to the other side. And they're like, right, right. Great story, man. He's like, I'll tell you what. Let me play it. Opens up the violin, pulls it out, and just cuts into some of the latest stuff he's been playing. And their eyes fill up with tears. And they start smiling, and they're like, that was unbelievable. Sorry, Fritz. You may go. And see, all too often, we do the same thing with Jesus Christ, where we accuse him of being so much less than what he is. And we don't grasp what's going on. And throughout the day and throughout the week and throughout the month and sometimes throughout the year, Christ in various ways reveals his greatness. And we have a job to hear it and to get it and to respond to it. And Jesus Christ, he's declaring to you today who he is, God Almighty. Make sure you hear him. Make sure you understand him. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is to be worshiped. And don't let any distraction come between you and him. Don't refuse to hear what he has to say. Your God's got something awesome to show you about who he is. And may we worship him with all we've got. All right, third point. Place your trust in Jesus as the one and only God in the flesh, the I Am. Place your trust in Jesus as the one and only God in the flesh, the I Am. We'll pick it up here. Jesus answered. Remember that word. The word answered, right? So he's had some challenge given to him, and he's responding back now. Who do you make yourself out to be? Here's Jesus' answer. If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. Why is he saying that? Because the Jews believed firmly at this time. In fact, we see it recorded just earlier in John chapter 8, starting in like verses 12 through 14, that you don't give testimony for yourself, right? You don't do it for yourself. You have somebody give testimony for you. Two witnesses, in fact. And everybody give the universal sign for two. Two witnesses, that's going to be really important in just a second. Two witnesses make a fact, not a self-proclamation. Boy, that would change a lot of social settings nowadays, wouldn't it? How does Facebook work now, right? It's all self-proclamation of the greatness of my day, right? And two witnesses on that bad boy, right? And if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. Look, I'm not saying this is self-proclamation. It is my Father who glorifies me. It is my He's like, God the Father himself is glorifying me. There are works being done right in front of you. There are hearts being stirred. There are lives being turned. There are miracles being accomplished. God the Father is making things happen. He is glorifying me. God the Father is glorifying me. And it is my Father who glorifies me. That means makes much of his name, shows him off, lifts him up. Of whom you say, he is our God. So let me get this straight. You guys want some proof? Witness number one. God the Father, my spiritual father, you know the one you call God himself? He is glorifying me. Have we gotten high enough on the ladder here? Are we good with the whole? Now we're getting some good witnesses. God the Father has a statement, and he is glorifying me, of whom you say he is our God. Oh, man, they're declaring that they know God, but they are not listening with their ears or with their heart. And they're walking right past God the Son in front of them. Let that settle for just a moment. The God of the universe right in front of you, and we missed it because of our accusations of who he is and who he was. It says, but you have not known him. I know him. But you have not known him. I know him. Now, here's a little detail. I'm not going to go into a lot, but I'm going to give you a little Greek moment here. You have not known him. That's a certain word for the word know. And then he says, but I have known him. It's a different word for the word know. He's like, you have not known him. He uses a word that means like experientially coming to know him more and more. You have in no way experienced God and gotten to know him better at all. Right? That word. But I have, and then he used a word know there that means a fullness of the knowledge of him. It doesn't really translate well in the English. We have one word for the word know. We have to put all these other words with it to try to characterize it. We're like, no, kind of know, sort of not know, but kind of know. Learn to know, like know in an experiential way, but not really. That's how we do it in English. They're like, we have one word. It's this word. It means you're growing along the way in the knowing, and it comes experientially. And then there's a separate word that means to know fully. He's like, you're not even having this experiential moment with him. I know him fully, fully. All right. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God, but you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar. Like, I have to declare I know him fully, and this is the truth. That's where I stand. Now comes the hard two words. What's it say? Like you. Ooh. Not the most politically correct moment here. What's Jesus thinking? And here's what he's thinking. God the Father is moving in this space, and he is shaping people towards who Christ is, and those who are standing against are in full out resistance of and don't want to hear it. And he's speaking to them and saying, you better watch yourselves. You say you know him when you don't. You say you know what he's about, and yet you're missing who I am. Be careful. That makes you a liar. Those two don't go together. Watch yourselves on that position. He's very firm with it. I'm saying I know him. Otherwise, I'd have to be a liar. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Where you know him, there is obedience to him, there is hearing of him, there is following of him. That's what it means to know God, to trust God, to believe in God. I believe God, I just don't do anything he says. Yeah, dude, that's not knowing him. Right? I want to hear what he has to say, and like, please hear me. We do not earn our way to salvation with works, and we do not keep our salvation with works. Works has nothing to do with it. Everybody say, nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. And yet, if there's a true belief and a true following, it will bring a heart that's obedient to him. Works. It's an evidence of God working in me. It's not something I do to keep or get salvation. And huge deal is he's like, yeah, I'm with him and I'm doing his works. I'm obeying him. He says, your father Abraham, get ready. Here we go now. Witness number two. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. So he's gone to God the Father, spiritual. Now he's going to Father Abraham, physical. He's going to their two fathers, the two fathers of the Israel nation, spiritually and physically. And these are my two witnesses, God the Father and Abraham himself. And Abraham, man, he could not wait for my day. I don't know what that looks like. I just have a picture in my mind of a dude in a robe who looks fairly old doing a dance of some sort. You know what I mean? Where he gets to heaven and he's like, this is what the whole thing's about. And here's who Jesus Christ is. And you're coming again. This is going to be unbelievable. And I wondered what some of this was going to be. And all of a sudden he does an Abraham dance that I'm not about to do here. And he, right? And he's like happy and he's celebrating. And he's like, I cannot wait to see you come into this world and end death and end the payment for sin and take it on yourself. I'm in on that plan. I cannot wait. Man, that's Abraham celebrating the day of Jesus Christ. And truly, I say to you, this is who Jesus is now. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, it means, listen up. Big statement being made by Christ here. I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. All right, now let's camp on this statement for a moment. Before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham existed, before Abraham was, past tense, everybody say past tense. Before Abraham was, past tense, I, the appropriate answer would have been was. Before Abraham was, I was, right? But instead he said, before Abraham was, I am. Why did he say that? Because in Exodus chapter 3, when God revealed himself to Moses, he said, my name is the I am. He's like, you wonder who I declare myself to be? Let me clear it up right now. I am. That is my personal name. I am. Before Abraham was, I am. What does it mean? It means from eternity past to eternity future, I always exist. It means that I don't depend on someone else for my existence. Each and every one of us, we depend on him. Without Christ, nothing is sustained. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. We fall apart without him. We need him, but he needs nothing. He is complete in himself, the I am. He is 100% independent, almighty, and love. The I am, eternity past to eternity future. I am. That's our God. And Jesus is like, before Abraham was, I am. Personal name of God chosen. Now, how did they take that message? So they picked up stones to throw at him. Well, that went well. And what's up with that? When someone commits heresy against God himself, you were supposed to stone him and kill him. This was a moment where they clearly grasped that he had just declared himself to be God. And they picked up stones to say, oh, no, you didn't. Nobody stands in our presence and says, I am God and lives. You will die. They picked up stones to stone him. Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. How did that work? We don't know. In this magic moment where he's in front of everybody and he's like the major center of attention, he makes the statement, before Abraham was, I am. Rumble starts going across the crowd. People start stooping down and picking things up. And they look back up and he's gone. And we don't know what happened. We just know that Jesus, whether through miracle or them being really poor watchers, has now escaped out. May we grasp this. When they challenged Jesus on who he was, he said who he was. He is God himself. And all of God's people said, amen. When Jesus Christ was asked to reveal himself, he revealed himself as the one who is from eternity past to eternity future, the I am.
Thank you for listening to Completely His, the teaching ministry of Harvest Bible Chapel Peoria and Senior Pastor Tim Harkness. To hear or view today's sermon in its entirety or for additional sermons, please visit www.harvestpeoria.org. If you've been impacted by this message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at completelyhis@harvestpeoria.org. Harvest Bible Chapel is located at 401 Cimarron Drive in East Peoria. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to join us for one of our services on Sunday mornings at either 9 or 11 or Sunday evening at 4:30. For more information on Harvest Bible Chapel, please visit us online at www.harvestpeoria.org. Thanks again for joining us this week, and we hope you'll tune in again next Sunday as we seek to be completely His.